All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. John, how are you doing this fine, beautiful, warm November afternoon in Nashville?
It's been wonderful. I was only a scant 15 minutes late. I saw only three, count them, three horrifically ugly sexagenarians jogging or fake jogging around your neighborhood, which is a record low.
Yogging. It's a soft J.
So, doing pretty well. Had a hearty breakfast.
The weather does bring out the sexagenarians.
It sure does.
In the neighborhood. Tell us, not a Hardee's breakfast, a hearty.
No, that's Chuck's thing. That would be gimmick infringement, and I'm not going to do that. I had an authentic deli, Nashville delicatessen, a Rachel. Does everyone know what a Rachel is?
It's a haircut.
I guess you're right.
It's a haircut from the mid-90s, right?
It's a friend's haircut.
It's every horrible girl I've dated since my divorce. Four Rachels on my phone, and I can't talk to any of them.
Too real. Mm-hmm. It is like a Reuben, only not. I think it's a less healthy Reuben. Instead of corned beef, it's pastrami, which I think probably has more nitrates in it. So I'm just
it's definitely a fattier.
That is a hearty. This is a breakfast. We're calling this breakfast.
It was a breakfast for
first
me.
Meal of yeah. I'm with you there.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night,
as you want to do.
Yeah, I've been sickly. My sickness almost cost me.
Often correlated.
Indeed.
The lack of sleep and the illness.
So I decided to take in a spy film double feature.
Okay.
A Bridge of Spies.
Okay, kind of long.
The scarred half of the coin. What was the new Bond movie called? Spectre.
Spectre. Oh, that's also very long.
Yeah, it was a solid 5 hours.
Wow.
Ew.
And I went 5 hours with some GI issues. Popcorn doesn't alleviate.
No, they'll make it worse.
And when I get out of Spectre, incredibly long film, I make my way to the facilities and check my basketball scores.
Yeah.
And when I come out of said facilities, total darkness.
You're talking about indoors.
Indoors,
everything's shut off.
Total darkness. Well, it's one in the morning.
You were deep into your stat book.
Basketball reference.
You're putting your waiver claims in.
Basketball reference got me, and I come out and I'm like, hello? Hello?
Is there a blinking motion sensor light you can yourself to?
As I waddled towards the exit light, you know, not the regular exit. I tried the kind of, you know, the one at the back of the theater first. And I, not a religious man, a known atheist, prayed to all of the gods that door would open. And when that light came rushing from the outside.
No alarm, too, I assume was part of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't even care about the alarm. I just did not want to spend the night in the Regal Cinemas, Opry Mills 21.
Why would you? Man, that's hefty.
I'm walking on sunshine.
You are walking on sunshine.
Yeah. I'm glad you're safe, buddy.
Thank you.
That actually reminds me because I've actually, this is not an apology. This is almost like this is a pre-breakfast confession.
Mm.
So I hear you went and saw a movie.
Yes.
I've also hit a point. I've hit a point in my life. This has been my experience of fatherhood. Of now, I have to I've been watching all these basketball games, but I don't have a lot of other free nights and times to go do things. So a lot of times when those the late game starts and there's just one game on television, I'm like, oh, the Warriors are playing. The Warriors are great to watch. But I'm thinking to myself, I could actually go see a movie right now.
Mm.
So I've been actually cheated on the NBA a couple times this week where I was like, you know what? It's a Tuesday night. It was five games. I'm going to go see a movie.
These are warning signs.
Catch up on it. Could be.
You can become like me and just ignore the NBA with a passionate affection.
You are resident Charles Barkley.
That's what I am. You're
here for your life experiences and your past.
I love the NBA, but there's a thing about fandom. You and I are probably on different ends of the spectrum. You're more.
You know what you guys should do?
Podcast.
How much money do you have in your bank account right now, Keith?
Well,
checking account. Just make up a number.
I'll just say,
some.
Some.
So take double that sum. And bet NBA game.
We've talked about this.
You will never not care.
This is very similar to your plan to get Chuck and I interested in college basketball.
Right. Okay, yep.
What do you make in a week? Double it. Put that on the next Ben Simmons game.
That's awful.
These are my life advice tips.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I will say for breakfast, I had the very uninteresting the in-law stayed with us last week for little buddy Bunger's birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
And left some yogurt, some Carb Master. I don't, does that mean there's more carbs or no carbs?
I think that's GORP. I think there's GORP.
So I had some Carb Master yogurt. Flavored, reeked of artificiality.
Yeah.
But that's how I started my day. No complaints, though. Mm. Other than that, it was very sweet. And you know that old sugar tooth here.
That's you.
Yep.
Chuck, what did you poison yourself with, brother?
Well, I did happen across a breakfast hack. At Sonic.
A breakfast life hack?
A life hack for breakfast.
I have a life hack.
Is this part of a listicle?
No, it isn't. This is me. I did some research. I'm a journalist.
My life hack is to not use the term life hack.
Good. That's important. So there's two. There's basically a few. The breakfast burrito game at Sonic is insane. You know, they have the regular breakfast burrito. It's just sausage, bacon, or ham with some scrambled eggs. Everything's good. A little cheese. But then they have the ultimate meat and cheese breakfast burrito, which is like steak, bacon, ham, sausage, tater tots, and a cheese sauce.
Cheese sauce?
Cheese sauce.
They don't even bother calling it hollandaise.
Nope. Cheesy sauce. Zesty cheesy sauce. So,
son of a.
Here's a little life hack if you go to Sonic, okay? The ultimate meat and cheese breakfast burrito is like $3.69. The breakfast burrito is only $2.49.
Do you also ask for water and then fill your little plastic cup full of Diet Coke?
This is Sonic. Have you been to Sonic? Don't talk to
John,
me.
This is the typical John. This is a typical state. John response.
Right. You don't.
Man's never even been to a Sonic. Sonic. Just, you know how it works.
Sorry. I had a Rachel for breakfast.
So you order the breakfast burrito. If you ask them to put tater tots on the burrito, they'll do it for free.
Holy smokes.
If you double meat, it's only 60 cents more.
Wow.
So you're at $3. You can ask for the free cheesy zesty sauce. You're effing around with a $3.70 burrito for less than $3.10. Get with me, dog.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Remarkable savings.
Mm-hmm.
That is a life hack.
Yeah.
We should post this in a local paper.
You should try that clear cup thing. I hear it works.
I had that today for breakfast and then immediately had diarrhea. So
cool.
You guys very similar in the GI issues.
Yeah.
It gave me the squirts, man. But that's how I know
I am never going to the doctor ever again.
That's how I know my gallbladder works.
Let's get to...
That's a vestigial organ, isn't it? That's what we used to use to... To digest eucalyptus, I believe.
Of course.
Let's move to the NBA, as we do after our breakfast talk, if they don't accidentally overlap.
We're descended from koalas.
After we have breakfast, we then have our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong, to make amends for things that were said in previous episodes. Does anyone want to go first?
I'll go first.
Yes, Chuck.
I was happy to see Mario Chalmers go. Mm-hmm. I was one of the trumpeters of his departure.
Buglers
happy.
Chuck, you're not an expert on much.
No.
But you are our Miami Heat expert.
Right.
Why did you not know Mario Chalmers was good?
Little did you know.
Little did we know. You know what it was? It's just when you ever had a job... And everybody,
no,
at your job.
No, not really. You're talking to the wrong two people right now.
Well, listeners out there, have you ever had a job and you were good at it, but all the management was just kind of a butthead to you? And then you go to another job, it's the same job, but everybody's kind of nice to you, and there's better barbecue.
You blame it on Spo?
I'm blaming it on LeBron. That started with him.
Yell at him a lot.
And it just didn't, like, basically put him in a bad place in the organization where everyone kind of looked down on him. Now he's like, a new guy.
Being
in a
the low man on the totem pole is kind of devastating.
It is. And
basketball is a confidence game.
It is. It's a lot of that. Con game. So, yeah, now he's a two-time champion in a locker room with literal, you know, experience that people in that locker room don't have, and they may defer to him and it may give him a little bit more confidence. So,
but did you think he would be the greatest player I have ever seen in my life?
Now the greatest NBA player of all
time.
Didn't
he's like set his career high in free throws in consecutive games or something?
I told you he could get to the hole. He just couldn't finish, but now he's finishing and he looks amazing.
Chuck, he's dunking.
He's dunking.
He's swearing in slow-mo on Fox Sports, and they just keep replaying
it. Just let it go.
Not aware of.
Dwayne Wade's been very supportful via Twitter.
Has he?
After everything.
A lot of Twitter love.
Love it.
Still yelling at him.
Still
yelling at him.
That is a very good apology. My apology is in the same vein, the Miami Heat. Well, I cast a little shade towards Hassan Whiteside with some of his... What I was...
This is going to be a big discussion.
Referring to empty numbers, he was getting a lot of blocks, but his rim protection numbers weren't great. His on-off defensive rating was not super good. The Heat were doing better when he wasn't on the court defensively. However, this week, a lot of that turned around. I don't know if a lot of that was just regressed back towards what we expected it to be, but he put up... Not only did he put up spectacular block shot numbers in the past week, but... His field goal percentage of the opponent while he was on the court were devastatingly poor. He was having a huge effect. Although he was almost killed by Andrew Wiggins.
Yes.
In an awesome dunk attempt that went awry because of his presence and a little, maybe non-called foul, but still. Once you block 10 shots or something, the refs start thinking, oh, he probably just blocked that shot. So he's had a huge impact. So I do apologize to Hassan, who I have doubted actually for maybe a year.
Years.
I didn't know his name two years ago.
But he hasn't qualified for years.
Yeah.
I have pored over the advanced metrics, and he's first and second in like everything. Like even defensive box plus minus, like he's right. Second in that. But I sort of have a theme for today's show, for me, personal theme. This is when sabermetrics have let me down, or when I don't believe in them, or when they don't believe in me.
Right.
I'm having a schismatic element. It's a moment of crisis because I've watched almost every Heat game. He still looks like a fool on defense. Like he runs around like a madman. It doesn't look like he knows what he's
there
doing.
There are no style points.
Yeah.
No.
As a man who loves Tayshaun Prince and Pau Gasol.
Right.
No points for style.
Well, and what I've, he's.
And he gets backdoor cut a lot still.
He does. He's decent on the pick and roll defense and anything near the basket, but other than that, yeah, his
well, he's a freak.
He's an athletic freak,
but he seems very unintelligent,
which I think could get better with the year as it goes by, because that's a very intense.
I think you have to give a lot of credit to Chris Bosh, because Chris Bosh covers for him crazy.
Chris Bosh is such a good defensive player. Yeah, just such a good defensive player.
It's kind of like having Bosh allows them the opportunity to just let this mad dog loose on the court. Mm-hmm. But I really don't have a defense
Bosh
anymore.
Bosh and Deng kind of do pinch any of the...
And then Winslow, and when Winslow's
just,
in.
Yeah, whew. Justice is that dude. So, no. It's a good look. I'm happy with the progress, I think. Hassan, though, I love you, bro, but you do got to do better. You had 10 blocks in a game. You've had 9 assists in your career. Step your passing
He's
game.
He's had
up,
3 assists this season,
which is
I consider that to be a positive light,
right?
It's and magical.
It's absolutely insane.
He's that a selfish boy,
a human that has hands that function on a basketball court for 29 minutes a game, whatever you're playing.
Not even that, a person who, when he gets it, whenever he touches the ball, a lot of times
they're doubling.
Yeah, I was saying people are running to him to surround him.
Right.
There are so many opportunities just to pass the ball.
Yeah, and you can't blame him. You're basically automatic
we're
by
literally
the rim.
Blaming him right
but,
now.
But, I mean, he's 60-something percent at the rim. He's just a maniac when it comes to
no one
can stop him. But if he gets fouled, he can't shoot. And he does have holes in his game, which gives me hope for maybe he can progress. But... he's got a lot of knucklehead things that I see on the court, too.
Right.
Just like dumb plays where you could have just blocked it, but instead you sent it to the third row.
Oh, yeah. He does not keep the ball alive on purpose.
Actually, he has. That's the thing he's been working on. I think in the last game, it was something about his 10 blocks. 6 of them were kept in play, and 5 of them led to a transition. So he actually...
he's doing better.
He has been working on it.
You think he's been working on it, or it just happened?
It could be a total...
Because I've read plenty of articles about Karl Anthony Towns. Like, he puts a lot of time into that, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't read a lot of articles on Hassan Whiteside.
I saw a quote that they said they've been working on it because of that number, where so many of his recent blocks had stayed in bounds.
That's a valuable skill.
Maybe it was luck. Who knows?
Well, I could have apologized to Hassan just as easily. However, quoth Stephen A. Smith... However, I'm trying to think of something sexist or
no.
To say we're not that to kind continue of podcast. The quote. Yeah, that's true.
Let's just let's move on.
Charlotte Bob Charlotte Bobnets are 500.
Yeesh.
Well, I was talking about last.
I need to apologize to the only man hubristic enough to wear a Hitler mustache in the last 50 years, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan just had text me.
I made fun of you for picking up Nicholas Batum, thinking he'd be an offensive weapon. He's been an offensive weapon.
He's been a hitting all his threes and a go-to scorer.
I scoffed at the Jeremy Lin signing and his anime hair, Japanim animation hair. Jeremy Lin's been a valuable player. And then, I mean, I don't know what to say. They're 500. Who'd have thunk?
Bill Simmons said today that with Jeremy Lamb having a higher PER than James Harden, it's time to revisit that Oklahoma City trade.
Presti knew all along.
And he basically just got a fantastic coach fired. I mean, Kevin McHale has the highest winning percentage.
Fantastic coach.
No, he's awful. He's awful. Okay, but he has the highest winning percentage of any Rockets coach. So he's won a lot of games as a coach there.
Rudy T coached for a while.
He did, but he coached, he coached those great teams.
Can I seg this into our best of the week?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Now, what is, John, the steak and eggs? The steak and eggs, best thing that you saw.
Continuing on my sudden and tragic turn against sabermetrics and sabermetricians as a whole, Dork Elvis, I'm coming for you later. Daryl Morey. I read an interesting article in the Charlotte Observer this week by, I want to give credit where credit is due. My phone is made out of boners. Rick Bonnell. Coach Michael Kidd-Gilchrist finds ways to help Charlotte Hornets during his recovery. And it is a heartwarming tale of how he's sitting in with the coaches, doing some quality control. Things that I usually hate to read about, but something is working in Charlotte.
This happened. I know this is a bad reference because I can't remember it. And if I can't remember it, no one can.
It didn't happen.
But this same thing happened last year where I called you out for you got really swept under by some PR piece.
Something got me.
Some PR puff piece about an NBA player.
Listen to this quote. He's really locked into personnel. It's literally evaluating everything from our team, defensive coverages, whatnot, to what was good, what was bad, to why we won and why we lost. Steven goes over it with him and then he sends it on to me. He's doing a really good job with it. Not haphazardly doing it. Come on. That doesn't. And then there's a mention in the article about when he was in college, he formed a breakfast club that where he got together with Anthony Davis and they shot around before practice at 5 a.m. Doesn't touch you?
I'm
pregnant.
You might have a child, not even know it. The way these emotions are opening.
I have a pretty clear cut explanation for Charlotte's success.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring in the quality of leader of Frank Kaminsky, who has run multiple unions.
That's right.
He has been. He is just a pure
union organizer. Steve Dorr.
He knows exactly how to get these men motivated. How to get them to pay their dues.
All he needs is 4 minutes a night, and he can
The foreman Kaminsky.
Frank the foreman.
I agree.
My steak and eggs best thing is Brett Brown, who agreed.
Hilarious.
Who agreed at one point to coach the Philadelphia 76ers.
Whoopsie.
They said, we're going to make you a millionaire. And you're going to be our coach, and we're not going to try to be good. And to this agreement, he said, okay, I'll do that. And now he might be at his wit's end. It might be about all they can take. So the Sixers, they are leading the NBA in turnovers, despite the best efforts of the Washington Bullets.
His quote, this team is built for turnovers.
That's where that
sorry,
is my...
Did I steal your thunder?
You stole my steak and eggs.
I'm so sorry.
But that was it. So in a game where I believe they had 29 turnovers, his quote was, this team is built to turn the ball over.
Wow.
That is hilarity. I kind of feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for the Sixers. They are a shamockery. And we haven't been tracking, but they have not won a game, gentlemen.
Nope.
I'm not sure when they're going to win a game.
They are the yin to the Warriors. Yeah.
Robert Covington has come back, but he has not hit a three yet. He's over 15. He's on my...
Yes, he's on
that,
the watch.
That streak is on my watch.
Jock watch.
Oh, the Jock. We'll update the Jock watch. Actually, we'll do it right now. Might as well. Things are moving slowly.
That's Jock watch started the season 0 for 22,
but,
I believe.
But Donald Sloan, we didn't update it last week because I don't think he's played since. Donald Sloan still at 0 for 5. He's also joined at 0 for 5 by Tyus Jones. Also 0-for-5 on the season.
Rook. But shoot
no,
it, Rook.
No one else is getting really close. The most egregiously looking bad sample, small sample size, bad shooting, Terry Rozier. Something like 5-for-29.
That's and a then, man who knows his way around a working woman.
And I would say and someone who is familiar with being on the Jacques Watch, Anthony Bennett, change of scenery, we the North, 1-for-9 on the Wii season. Still shooting under 15%.
Former lottery pick, number one overall.
Number one overall. Chuck, what's your steak and eggs?
Oh, guys, there has been just two of the greatest mustaches. It's got me so excited I can't say it.
Major developments.
Major mustache developments. LeBron James is going full Danny Glover and Lethal Weapon.
He's Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon.
The
Riggs!
I'm glad you said something because
he's getting too old.
The LeBron mustache gives me joy. Beyond
he's my favorite player now.
Beyond measure.
I can't. He's wearing really tight pants.
How about Bosh answering the call?
The short
though.
Shorts.
What was your second mustache?
My second mustache was Christopher Q. Bosh.
Oh,
Esquire.
Chris Bosh. Yeah, yeah.
Going with the John Waters.
He does the John Waters Thin Lizzy mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gross. But yeah, LeBron's turning into a player from the 70s almost, like. He's not even doing cardio anymore. He's just running stairs and smoking cigarettes at halftime. It's almost weird to look at him on the court.
He does give me, I mean, it's that mid-80s vibe, yeah. The way he's shortening his short. I love it.
He's tightening it up. He's putting that
getting a little retro.
Ridiculous facial hair to distract from his balding. I know the move, LeBron. I have a beard and a bald head. I know what you're doing. You're not fooling anybody. You're saying, look here. Not there.
He's kind of fooling me.
He is. He's gotten John right on his bandwagon.
Speaking of haircuts or facial features, have you seen the Jonas Valanciunas?
No.
He's cut his hair. He's kept it very short to the point of shaved it off. Chuck.
Yeah.
A little bit of a doppelganger.
Really?
A little dead ringerish.
He looks a lot like, boys and girls, if you're not sure what our co-host Chuck looks like, check out Jonas Valanciunas right now and divide that by late career Matt Geiger.
Correct. Chuck thinks he looks like Jake Gyllenhaal. He actually looks like Jonas Valanciunas.
I look like a fat Jake Gyllenhaal. I've been told that multiple times. And I'll take it.
You're Irish, so you have bushy eyebrows.
I would say you do have those, like, I'm slightly drunk eyes.
Just always
we call those sleepy cobra eyes.
It's kind of like always confused and mad at the same time.
Heavy-lidded, sultry, dark thoughts.
All right, what... Those are our steak and eggs.
Those eyes can get you pregnant with a glance.
What is the opposite of that? What is the cream of wheat, worst of week?
Can I go first? Because nobody's topping this.
That's how we normally do it, yes.
Dion Waiters. Dion Waiters. 13 made layups this season. Yeah. 14 missed.
I saw that. ESPN stats and info keeping us entertained.
How do you do that? And he topped it off with an unbelievable one. That left him head and hands. Just a spectacular defeat.
I don't.
Deadspin entitled the art the link. This Dion Waiters attempted layup is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
I find it incredible that poor Jeremy Lamb was riding the bench behind Dion Waiters and Andre Robertson. Jeremy Lamb, who my first instinct was to mock when he was signing an extension. That guy's on fire.
I mean,
that guy's a shooting guard who just incredibly efficient, shooting great percentages, taking good shots.
Dion Waiters is better from three than from layup.
Yeah.
That's hard. I mean, that's the worst. It's the worst.
That's what Steph Curry's done to our game.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
Down with sabermetrics.
That's my grumpy old man analyst.
I got a bad one. Kelly Olynyk, when the Celtics were playing the Mavs. Pulled.
Oh, you didn't like it?
He pulled the Dirk. No, dude, you can't steal it on the dude. You can put that on someone else, but that's the man. You can't just bite his style like that.
Can you explain more for the listener?
Yeah, so Dirk has his, you know, step back, knee up.
Kick you in the balls.
Kick you in your taint jumper. That kind of, you know, is mildly legal. But
mildly legal.
Basically, Kelly Olynyk just copied the move full. It's, you know, Dirk's classic
shot. While being guarded by Dirk.
With Dirk on him. Yeah, he missed the shot, so you got to at least hit it.
And he missed the shot.
And then immediately went to Dirk and was like, hey, Dirk, I know you just saw what I did.
They were all giggle, giggle.
Yeah, but then Dirk went nuts. He scored like 15 points to close the game out. And
Dirk is...
Don't poke the bear.
Don't do it, dude.
I mess with the bull, you get the horns.
I don't know if we saw this coming. Dirk is having an incredible shooting year.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mavs are 8-4, which I guess we can get to in the scattered, smothered, covered. But Dirk, yeah, he was killing it. The problem I had with Kelly Olynyk's, as you mentioned, his Dirk tribute move, he missed the shot. He started it way too close to the basket.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even... Dirk's move is like he posts up at like 14 elbow, feet via elbow, and like, and it ends up being like an 18 foot or some crazy. Kelly Olynyk was like 10 feet from the bucket.
Yeah, babe, it was like, like a foot, like, inside the free throw line.
Yeah, when he like took he was shot. So close to the bucket, and then the fadeaway didn't even get into the free throw line.
Like, do you think,
like, that's not impressive? Like, that's a shot I can make.
Do you think he was like practicing it?
Oh,
like,
yes.
I'm gonna do it as soon as I get Dirk on me. I don't care where I am on the court. I'm just gonna go out. I'm just gonna do that Dirk. I'm gonna get caught Dirking. And we'll go all Dirk on it.
Go all Dirkin. My cream of wheat is my Eastern Conference team, the Brooklyn Nets, blowing the game against the world champion Warriors. They had every opportunity to win that game. Impressively, on the road, in Oracle. No one thought it possible.
Overtime.
They went with a three-point lead, and the Warriors had the ball. The Warriors inbound the ball to Draymond Green, who's standing at the elbow. Foul him. They threw the ball to a player inside the three-point line. It's easy. Mm-hmm. Foul him.
Super.
They apparently our grizzled bear, old prickly bear Lionel Hollins, that isn't part of his repertoire. So they let him, the ball get passed back out. The game-tying three happened. But then they still had a second, under a second, I believe. They actually ran a really nice play to get Brolo a layup.
Oh, I saw that.
Which he probably missed at, just missed the bunny at the buzzer. Oh. And then, well, overtime, the world was righted and they got spanked.
Yes.
So my worst.
That's one of those moments where when it gets to overtime, you're like, this outcome is not in doubt.
It's not, no reason to watch that anymore. All right, those were our cream of wheats. Okay, Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. I touched on it. The Mavs are a surprising 8-4 as of this recording.
Stunning.
We all were low on them this year, and we left it with the caveat, but maybe Carlisle will just get something out of these guys, and that's the whole reason you're hesitant to
He is Carlisling.
He's a wizard.
Yes.
He's a warlock.
And I mean, and when you look at their stats, other than the Dirk stats jumping out at you, you're kind of curious as to how they're doing it. Because Wes Matthews, although that's
very
a cool,
curious,
that's a cool story, but he's kind of up and down. Like, some nights he's been great and been able to play, you know, 30 plus minutes, and other nights he can barely play at all. So it's just kind of one of those. They're winning games with Charlie Villanueva starting sometimes.
I saw someone say something like Charlie V will give you two games a year. you just leave him on your bench. You don't need him. You don't need him. Put him in. He'll give you two games a year.
It's like Drew Gooden's yearly triple-double.
If Anthony Davis is the brow, what is Charlie Villanueva?
Browless?
The anti-brow?
He's the...
The no-brow?
Alopecian?
The very, very alopecian.
I'm trying to think of an alliterative of the amazing alopecian.
Mm.
The alopecian Alsatian?
It's an Alsatian.
I think
a dog breed or a person.
No, but Derek, you were saying he's going crazy. He's 51-50-90 splits.
He's having
the ridiculous season.
You assume he's going to drop off, and he won't keep this up.
Well,
I'm telling you right now.
He's playing under 30 minutes a game.
Unsustainable business model.
Yeah, no, obviously, but he's not
but
playing
he's
heavy
it.
Minutes.
He's killing
it.
And
they're giving him rest. So.
And I also want to mention the team that they beat on Wednesday night, the Celtics, who were also a team we thought would be middle of the pack. And, I mean, record-wise, they still are. But they were crushing people. And all the advanced numbers love the Celtics. Like,
yeah.
they're listed as, like, the top team in the East in a lot of, you know, different ratings. I still can't. They're like this year's Atlanta or something. Or, like, they're like a Spursy. I don't understand how they all get so good when I'm watching them just whipping people.
The most shocking rating to me, although this may have been because they just lost,
right?
It may have been battered down a little bit, is the margin of victories.
Yeah,
because they're like They were sixth in the league in margin of victory, and that's just not a trait you would attribute to this Celtics squad.
They had a very hot week where, like, in consecutive games...
Double-digit ass whoopings.
Well, double-digits rallies. They were right. down double-digits and then roared and won by, like, 20 in both games. And it
or,
was
as,
just...
or as we call that in gambling terms, Hiroshima. That is when it's over.
The Scott Skiles... Our own the commish or Vic Mackey.
Yeah.
Can we steal any of that music and just play it whenever we say Scott Skiles' name?
What music?
From the commish. That really great theme music.
Oh, I don't even remember the commish's. Really? I was thinking of the thing from The Shield.
Bad theme music.
More.
You would like it. It's got like a Cuban flair to it. It is. But it's horrific. It is.
I was saying Scott Skiles has already kind of made his mark. He's already got Vucevic in the doghouse.
Oh, God.
He broke... Poor Victor Oladipo returning from concussion. Skiles broke his spirit.
I believe so.
Benched him. Oladipo finished with 1 point.
Yes. Missed every three-pointer.
Missed every shot. Yeah.
Every shot. We might see him later in the show.
The Magic ended up winning the game in overtime where they were...
Evan Fournier.
But it was all... Yeah, it was all Evan Fournier ISO 3. Just magic.
A bad shot.
Covering up from the Jason Smith and Pan Am game star... Andrew Nicholson.
Yeah. We've had a lot of bad process, good results, coaching things happen this week, and right. GM things happen this week. Like, everything good that's happened to the Thunder has been because Billy Donovan's stupid. And he'll just leave in terrible lineups for that will magically get hot, but they're terrible lineups.
I don't know. Do you guys think the Thunder, I mean, it's still hard to... It's hard to measure them because
they've downgraded.
Durant will be in and out, but I don't.
I can't believe they've done it, but they downgraded it, coach, from Scotty Brooks.
I can believe it because it seems so strange for when you're a team that's on the threshold or on the cusp,
right?
Or you have a fully loaded championship caliber roster. Man, bringing in the college guy there just seems
mistakes like were made.
Seems shaky.
It's more than shaky. They're perilously close to not being nearly the team we thought they were going to be this season. And that's with two of the top seven players in the NBA on the same squad. That's painful.
It is painful. Speaking of a little painful, the Trailblazers, who we pumped up and strutted around.
Stops.
We strutted around this very house.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Feeling good about those Trailblazers.
It's not looking as good.
Looking as good.
They're losing close ones.
They've done in their lives.
Power listener Matt Sullivan has created a new stat for the Trailblazers, and two games have ended as a result of this stat. I believe it is called. Let me see here. Let me hit the time machine. It's dribbles off of Aminu's foot, but it is officially called an add-off, ADOF. It's Aminu dribble off foot.
It's already cost him twice.
Yep. He had he's kind of my gambling vizier when it comes to the Blazers, and he ended one game. I said I had Blazers plus 13. He goes, oh, they lost by 13. He goes, one too many Adolphs. I said, what's Adolphs? He goes, Aminu dribbles off foot, trying to come up with a clever acronym off the cuff and failing. And then about 3 days later, or no, 2 days later, he goes, your gamble's looking pretty good. It's an overtime now, but it's not going so well for me. And an Adolph to seal the deal.
they're a team. They're so streaky because they live in that world that Charles Barkley believes in. The jump shooting teams can't win.
Right.
Because they go up, they go so hot, they go lights out, they get big leads, and then things get tight, and then leads whittle away, and then they panic, and then every shot looks... At that point, you're like, why are they taking these shots? But those are the exact same shots that got them in the good position. So they're, you know, it's going to be an up and down year. Still like the over.
I still like the over. And I'm not ready to give up just yet.
Losing seven in a row. Also, and it was a big win. And we should talk about the Rockets. Kevin McHale.
Oh, man, Kevin McHale.
This is another bad process, later. Good result.
Yeah.
Because I do think Kevin McHale is a terrible coach.
Yeah.
I've long held this belief.
It's a winner.
However... When you construct a team that lives and dies by the three like that, when they go this cold, you're going to lose. And it's not necessarily McHale's fault.
No.
And you're the one who added my Ty Lawson, who doesn't seem to be a very good fit.
Yes. Are you? It sounds like you're talking to Dork Elvis right now.
I'm talking to you, Daryl Morey.
I feel like you do that as you drive around town. You just pick up GM and just start destroying them.
You have ridden in cars with me. You realize that I cannot stop singing ever.
That's true.
While driving.
I don't think it was Mikhail's fault. There's a lot going on with James Harden. I don't know if you guys heard.
What are you talking about?
No, I mean, there's like, everybody knows about the conspiracy of.
Oh no. It's back.
Is this Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week?
Everybody knows what's going on with James Harden. I mean, he's officially taken steps back in productivity. He's scoring more points, but he's really not playing as well as he's played at his MVP caliber he was playing last year. There's only one thing that you can attribute it to, and it's pretty obvious, and that's being with Khloe Kardashian.
Mm.
She
I've heard the rumblings.
Well, if anyone has privy to the Kardashian family story.
Which one?
Well, them all. Well, it all really starts, we all know about the daughters, Kim, Khloe, they're semi-famous and they date famous men. But every single one of those men, after dating them, becomes more awful. With the exception of Kanye West, who could be no awful when he met...
Or in some cases, less alive.
Right. So he's empty on the inside. So what happened, it all goes back to the Kardashians. Everyone thinks that it's Kim who made the Kardashians famous. It's not the case. We all know her father, Robert, famously made a blood oath with a gypsy priest to get OJ off murder. But in return, the priest said that all of his family's bloodline were corrupted and effectively made all of his daughter's vaginas are now poisoned.
Kardashian does sound like a gypsy's name a tailor from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Did the priest broker the deal?
No, he just, there had to been there was a karmic balance that had to be paid,
Okay.
You know, it's complicated.
It's the dark arts.
It is the dark arts. You just got to chalk it up to the dark arts. So, yeah, basically what's happened since the Kardashian meetup, Khloe and Harden around June were seen together. This season, we've seen a precipitous drop in both field goal percentage and three-point percentage, over 10 points of three-point percentage and 7 points in field goal percentage. He is not as good as he used to be. He's awful now, and it's all because of that dirty coos.
Ooh, so it's kind of like it's like Stephen King's Thinner, but instead of thinner, it was...
worser.
Terrible tabloid hooker.
Now, let me explain what kind of power that Kardashian gash will do to you.
Kardashian.
So Khloe is in the hospital with Lamar while still dating James Harden.
Ooh.
So she's like, hey, boo, I got to go take, I'm going to pause my divorce, which she did, by the way. They paused the divorce proceedings, which I don't know how you do that as a divorce man. It's once it starts, you want it over. But she paused it to go be with him, which is admirable. I get that. But she's basically got that dude, James Harden, in a slap trap. You know, he's all sprung. Shawty.
Trap house.
Am I going to have to...
Trap house.
How much Urban Dictionary am I going to have to use figure out what to bleep?
Shout out.
I don't think you need to bleep anything.
I think we're good.
I think you need to remain blissfully ignorant.
Blissfully ignorant.
You're a parent now. This is a skill you need.
No one else knows.
That's perfect.
This is a skill you need.
So that was Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week, and it glides nicely. It slides right into the awards segment of the evening. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is awarded weekly to the worst performance in a box score, always heavily influenced by those shooting numbers.
Mm.
We had a lot of 4-for-16s out there this week.
Did Oladipo make it?
Oladipo did not make it. Only,
son of a.
Only had six attempts that game, I believe.
Yeah,
I guess
you're
six.
Right.
We had some 2-for-12s, 5-for-20s, didn't even get there.
Wow.
We did have three nominees presented chronologically as they occurred during the week. Our first nominee, and this is a good one, Jahlil Okafor.
Oh.
In a loss to the Thunder. Who, Nelly? 3 for 18, 6 points.
Bonus. That moron also was the sixth man in the Lakers or Sixers threw out six guys to lose a game this week.
Eye on the prize.
Brett Brown, I'm not sure what he had to say about that one, but I'm pretty sure he said this team is designed to have six men on the floor.
That's right.
So I'm pretty sure Okafor's taking this one home.
Jahlil Okafor, 3 for 18, 6 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, a few blocks, but 4 turnovers, 3 fouls. More turnovers than made shots. 18 attempts, 6 points. I'm just going to keep emphasizing that. Man who I came very, very close to apologizing to. I kind of half apologized to last week. Alec Burks against the Magic in a loss. 2 for 13, 11 points, 2 rebounds. And then James Harden, whose aloofness in a coach-killing shooting spree.
Yeah, maybe that's the real conspiracy.
How about you load in with a little commentary there?
That's the real the real conspiracy. James Harden was the man on the grassy knoll.
Exactly.
Look at all those exit wounds on Kevin McHale's magic bullet.
Yeah, he was the Kevin McHale assault was 5 for 21.
Woo!
6 turnovers. However, as he will do.
80 free throws.
25, 10, and 7 that
right.
game.
Yeah.
So...
He's safe.
He is safe, but again, 16 missed shots is always going to catch our eye.
Can we give it to the sixth man?
There's no question this week.
Jahlil.
It's Jahlil Okafor.
Jah.
You hopefully won't be back again too much more, but that was some dumb stuff you were doing.
Hard for a big man to get in on these.
Hard for a big man to go 3 for 18.
Yeah, really.
All so 2-point shots, all post moves. Oh, my. So congratulations, Jahlil. You've only been in the league for 3 weeks, but you already got yourself a stack house of pancakes.
You're award winner.
That's fantastic. All right.
Auspicious debut.
Our par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to this week? I'd like to say one word.
Y'all.
Porzingis.
Absolutely. The god Porzingis.
The Porzingis. The humongous Porzingis.
I can't wait. The holidays are upon us.
Yes.
Once again, because I am the only person in my family whose house is pleasant to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Even
with all the animals.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Burr has, I want to say, 12 animals.
Three cats, three dogs. Oh. Well, in my family, my dad's a veterinarian, so that makes it a little easier.
Those numbers increase significantly when his band members are there.
That is true.
Because they're all feral.
The cat man. Meow, meow. So I am very excited about introducing my father to Kristaps Porzingis. And if he does not have a game during these, I haven't looked at the schedule this week. He does not have a game during this this Thanksgiving hangover week.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have
I'll
a game.
Be very, very devastated.
I'm looking forward. Yeah, I am looking forward to. He's coming to Memphis in January.
We're going.
Yeah, we're going to go to that game.
That's the next trip. It's not Chuck's birthday. There will not be drugs.
This might be confusing for my son when he gets older, but we've started calling his special part his Porzingis.
Wow.
One day we'll explain to him about the Vucevic.
Oh.
What are you calling the berries?
I haven't thought about it yet. Just the whole area, Porzingis.
How about John and Rick?
Oh, the Barry brothers.
The Barry brothers?
Yeah.
Which one hurts? Is it John or is it Brent?
Yeah. Let's get... The low-hanging one is definitely John.
Yeah, you don't want to call either one of them Rick because it might give up on him.
The biggest testicle is John.
It's John.
So apparently your son is packing if he's got a Porzingis. I've got a Muggsy. I do not have a Porzingis.
Oh, my goodness.
That's 7'3" of white, just excellence, white lightning. He's my favorite player in the NBA this year. It's not even close.
It's hard. So much fun to watch.
I don't feel like the people in New York deserve him.
They don't.
I don't feel like Knicks fans deserve him.
No.
Just because of that kid crying while he booed.
No, not that. Just how they boo everyone, and it's like they've had such a terrible, I don't know, just the franchise. Maybe I'm blaming the franchise. The franchise has been run so poorly.
They have. And look, they do have good fans. They do have good basketball fans, but they're just pompous who think that just because they're New York that they're going to be an important team.
I don't know. It's probably...
I still don't think they're going to be better than, sixth or fifth East.
I don't need, they won't even get there.
No.
In my
maybe
mind.
Maybe 7 or 8.
And I guess, I think I'm being just too bitter against having my own fandom interfere. It's good for basketball.
Absolutely.
To have Porzingis, if he can
Porzingis, yeah.
If he can rejuvenate Carmelo just a little bit.
That Eastern European TV shares, man. Come on.
I mean, it's good to have someone in, you know, Madison Square Garden a little frisky.
Hell yeah.
You know, since Isaiah Thomas left the Secretary Poole.
Let's enjoy this until his feet crumble into dust.
And his knees, his knees kind of look already wrapped way too tight for a 20-year-old.
He wears knee braces already. But he is so fast for someone that large.
He is. He's super quick. He can shoot. His free throw shooting's insane. It's nuts.
I love it. He's a glorious gift to our league.
He's magical.
So on that note, thank you guys for listening. Stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue. We'll briefly talk about
it's not Grizzly this week.
It's not Grizzly. Just back to Grizzly. Stick around for the Grizzly epilogue. Chuck, you have a thing?
R.I.P. Hedo Turkoglu.
What?
He's not dead, but he's not in the league anymore.
Good Lord, man.
We'll miss you, dog.
Don't make death jokes about you're smoking Eastern Europeans.
You just briefly scared us that Hato had passed
away. Good Lord.
But anyway, thanks you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Like us on Facebook. Hey, buy a shirt. We sold a shirt this week.
Hey.
FastBreakBreakfast.BigCartel.com. Get a How's It Going shirt. And remember to give us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. Thanks for everyone who's already done that. All right, you guys are the best. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. Last week, we were at a dark point, but we were coming off
Moving on up in the standings.
Coming off a string of moral victories last week.
We are 500 again.
And the Grizzlies, went 3-0, as we said, was, you know, it's possible. It was therefore.
After an 0-4.
So.
Ratted off three victories against three bad teams right on.
I mean, beating the Thunder is always good.
Not. Let's caveat that Thunder.
And
a
then.
Win's a win.
That's true.
And winning a game against the T-Wolves, even though it was a Rubio-less, they're still a frisky team. It's a road game.
Yeah, We usually beat two teams.
The Grizzlies are 3-0 on second nights of back-to-backs.
That's
not bad.
Bizarre.
Hey, if you throw out those 100-point losses.
But hey, we got some big moments this week. We had the Super Mario game and the Zeebo putback game. Come on.
And you guys got those Memphis Sounds jersey throwbacks out. Those are sick.
Those were some of the better.
So great. There's a picture of like Jeff Green in front of a gold Cadillac on the internet.
I was pretty surprised you didn't buy one of those when we were down there. Did you get to look at those?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember that?
I do. I bought the scarf instead.
You had like only one dilated pupil at that point.
I hadn't done any real drugs yet.
Not real. Just herbal stuff.
Yeah, just something that got prescribed.
I think the Mario Chalmers stuff and getting the rotations in order is what everyone's going to be talking about. I want to talk about Jamichael Green.
Talk about Jamichael Green. He's been awesome.
He is awesome. He's our backup Zeebo that we've been waiting for.
He is the first. I think part of he looks so fast out of just relative of everyone else.
Right.
Everyone else is just standing still. So him moving makes it seem like he's...
You might be true. You might be honest with something.
Everyone's like, that guy's so fast. How does he move that quick? You're like, well, he's an NBA athlete. The other guys out there, they have the old man game. Like, they secretly have tricked the world into letting him play basketball.
But I'm telling you, when the rest of the team saw Jamichael Green hit a three-pointer, they went, hey, we can make three-pointers too. And then we hit 12 of them.
I think... So my encouraging thing from this game, and the Jamichael Green, the Grizzlies did not play well.
Right.
This week. Like the Grizzlies in the Zeebo putback game.
Yes.
Spectacular collapse.
Right.
Just a spectacular, like just the complete idiocy, like doing the dumbest things. I'm terrified. Probably my favorite NBA player, Tony Allen.
It looks bad.
Everyone says about the Grizzlies every year, this will be the year they lose a step.
Yeah.
It looks like Tony Allen might have lost. I'm not ready to give it up, but so far he looks like he's lost a step on defense.
He used to have like those, you know, calamitous misadventures on the court that you could chuckle at, but there'd be tempered by these moments of greatness, you know. It's like, but now it's like they're tragedies.
Although he's still making some fun steals and he's getting those great putbacks and he's making the good back cuts, but I'm worried he's lost a step. But so Jamichael Green he's still like a tentative and kind of tight, and you can tell he's not. I love the fact this has worked out so well that Brandon Wright got hurt.
Yes.
So Jermichael Green was forced to play more minutes. I'm nervous when Brandon Wright gets healthy that they're going to give him a short leash again.
You sent a text that I want to print out and frame if it comes true. Let's trade Brandon Wright for a shooter.
Yeah.
I'll take it further. Why don't we trade Brandon Wright to the Heat? Seems like that's working out. Let's trade Brandon Wright for Tyler Johnson. Let's just keep this flow going.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chuck? You don't need those players.
Tyler Johnson, you can have him.
We don't need Tyler Johnson. It's not that doesn't fit in our rotation.
No, you need a big.
Just give me someone who can shoot a three.
So if Jermichael Green keeps playing as well, I wanted to continue this. So the bad play. So again, they struggled against the T-Wolves, the Rubio-less T-Wolves. And then in this great game where the Grizzlies were 12 for 17 for three, Mario Chalmers went crazy, and they beat the Thunder. It's hard to remember. The third quarter, they were 6 for 26 from the field. It was one of the worst quarters. But so I am encouraged by the Grizzlies' defense has been bad this year.
Right.
Like even not counting those big games.
Especially the perimeter defense.
Like the D has been very average. The offense is getting better. I do think we're learning a rotation.
Right.
And I'm still, it's impossible, even though you know we've hit Apex Chalmers.
Right, absolutely.
We've already experienced the best we're going to experience.
You can't do better.
This is like when Michael Carter Williams played his first NBA game.
It's like, wow. It's like, oh,
that was it. Like, we will never see that game again from this guy. Like, that was, a near quadruple double. Yeah.
Do you want to hear something funny?
Please.
So always. I was just like going through fantasy bell going on.
Fantasy bells.
I picked up a Jay Green, a forward from the Grizzlies.
Did you do that on accident?
I did that on accident.
I wanted him.
And he's actually, I thought it was Jeff Green. I was like, man, Jeff Green's not really playing that well. I don't do much research as evidenced by this podcast. But I just picked him up and he's been playing really well. And I thought it was Jeff Green until yesterday.
Here's how you do it for Grizzlies fan at home. If you're having trouble deciphering the difference between the two, Jeff Green's number is 0, which is exactly what he adds to the Grizzlies when he's on the court.
We got to say, Jeff Green in the 3-game winning streak, I think 20 for 20 from the free throw line. He also had consecutive 20-point games. He's in the starting lineup. And again, we should mention, because this is big news in Grizzlyland, Courtney Lee going to the bench. He's never played well off the bench. He's not really playing well off the bench now. But if he can maybe find a little place. Spot for himself, like on the bench, it seems like it could help out. And Jaeger loves Jeff Green, apparently.
Right.
Like, he's trying to make it work.
Whose number is 32? I got that backwards.
Right, yeah. Jeff Green's 32. Jeff and Jam. That's how we do it.
Oh, really?
That's how I like it. I think
not Mutt and Jeff?
Kevin Leip, I think.
Kevin whom?
Kevin Leip from a Grizz Flyer.
I don't know.
Memphis Flyer.
I only know Chris Harrington.
Oh, Chris Harrington and Kevin Leip are the two.
I gotta get that guy.
You gotta get him. He's the best.
That's a Twitter shout out.
Yeah. So I do like the fact that they found the rotation. Their schedule is still hard. They play the entire Southwest Division. I think in the next week they play everyone they got to play. The Southwest Division, which is in shambles, sort of outside of the Spurs.
Ooh, get them.
I guess and the Mavericks are doing well. Anyway, so this to wrap up to close the Grizzlies epilogue. A very encouraging week in the fact that they're winning games and the fact that Chalmers has seamlessly assumed the backup point guard role and he looks great. So now you just hope that Zeebo will play well.
It's not Pyrite.
Right.
Because we were playing teams we usually beat and we weren't playing that well. But hey, we've had some bad beats. It was time to get some bad wins.
I love it. That's good. So I think, Mark, keep shooting. Every time you get
absolutely.
Just keep shooting. Keep try to get 30 points a game.
You're our best offensive player.
And if Conley can just do some stuff, that's it. That's the Grizzlies formula.
Guys, take care of Mario for me, will you?
Why didn't you tell us he was good?
I
watched him play and I'm like, he's all right, but I think he's kind of bad.
I think Chuck was on to something. I think he was beaten down.
He was just like emotionally torn.
Yeah.
Just destroyed. And now they're just like, hey, we'll be nice to you here. Just play good basketball.
He was like ninth fiddle. And now he's come to a place where, he's like
the sixth guy.
He's like sixth fiddle, but not even that. He's like the featured fiddle.
He is the featured fiddle.
He's like, oh, everyone wants to see what this, we want to see what you're going to do.
Yeah, and no one else.
First chair viola. Like they wouldn't let him play violin or cello. He's a viola player. Mm-hmm. But he's first chair.
I almost made a viola joke, and then I realized that's not.
No, go ahead, buddy. You should.
No, I'm not.
Come on, hit us with a viola joke.
Okay, it's something about being in tune. It's
just, okay, I got it. No, we could have finished it. Okay, that's good.
All right, so you guys, thanks for listening. That was your Grizz epilogue. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.